Yes, today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC members call taking place on the 19th of September, 2013. On the call today, we have Zahid Jamil, Jimson Olufui, Janet O'Callaghan, John Berard, Marilyn Cade, Richard Friedman, Aisha Hassan, Marie Patullo, Andy Abrams, Mark Sloan, Elisa Cooper, Emmett O'Keefe, Philip Corwin, Bill Smith, Stephen Del Bianco, and Laura Covington. We have apologies from Martin Sutton, Sarah Deutsch, Olga Yagiz, Susan Kawaguchi, Phil Lodico, and Chris Chaplow. I would like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Elisa.
So, first of all, thank you, everyone, for joining today. We have quite an agenda to cover, so let's just jump right in. I wanted to cover a few items before we turn it over to John Berard, and then we'll hear from Marilyn, and then we'll close with Steve Del Bianco. We've switched up the agenda a little bit today to make sure that we give other members of the executive committee time, because often we get crunched at the very end. So the first thing that I wanted to cover is that we have had a number of requests for membership, and I realize that it's been some time since there has been a change in the members that participate with the Credentials Committee, and we are actually long overdue to replace those members of the Credentials Committee. So I would like to strongly encourage anyone who has any interest in participating with the Credentials Committee to participate. Essentially, the Credentials Committee is there to review the applications and ensure that they are in line with our charter. Now, we are talking about making some amendments to the charter, which could potentially affect membership criteria. That said, that's not in place yet, but it is very important that we continue to make sure that as new members are asking or potential members are asking to join, that we're reviewing those and getting back to them and making sure that, again, we're, you know, making sure that those criteria, which are identified as part of the charter, and it's a rather short section, actually, are being processed. So I'm not sure, you know, if we can or if people are ready today to sign up for that. But we are looking, I think, at least for a committee of at least three individuals. And, again, I would ask you, please consider, in terms of time commitment, I don't know, Benedetta, if you could maybe chime in and give your estimate of how much time Credential Committee members are spending.
Time-wise, it really depends. I mean, at the moment, we've had quite a few applications, and currently, due to the changes in the charter and the difference in the applicants compared to before, it's become a bit more hazy. So it's been taking the Credentials Committee much longer to assess whether the applications are actually the applicants are eligible or not. But normally, it's not a day. So something that happens weekly. You know, it really, really depends on how many applications we receive. This year we've had quite a few, but usually it's the Credentials Committee rarely has conference calls. They mainly discuss the applications by email, and I'm there between the Credentials Committee and the applicant, so they submit questions back to the applicant if they have any. Again, it's all discussed by email, and then they assess whether they're eligible or not. So it's not a full-time commitment in terms of the BC. But I think that the current Credentials Committee members would be good people to speak to if you're interested. In the moment, it's David Ferris, Martin Sutton, and Ron Andruff, but I don't see any of them on the call right now.
I know David is planning on joining. He's just going to be a little late.
Yeah, and Ron is going to join soon as well.
Are there any questions? Unfortunately, for some reason, I cannot see the Adobe view. Are there any questions about participating on the Credentials Committee, and is there anyone who might have an interest in participating?
It's Laura. Alyssa, I'd be glad to do that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, this is John Berard. I have an interest in it as well.
Okay, fantastic. Can I get a third?
And this is Jim Singh. I will also be privileged to serve in that committee.
Okay, great. So Jimson, Laura, and John. Is there anyone else? I don't mean to be greedy.
Yeah, Phil Corwin, I might have an interest pending further details.
Okay. All right, great. The next item that I want to go to is around our upcoming elections for counselor on the GNSO Council. And our election period will start in a couple of weeks, and that will run for a couple of weeks. And I would just strongly encourage people to consider running as a counselor. Now, I just received an email yesterday that there will be like a training for new participants at ICANN we just all received an email about this just last night about some kind of orientation and training into the whole ICANN landscape, and I would envision potentially this counselor, whoever it is, maybe participating in this training that would occur just prior to the Buenos Aires meeting. It is important that we look towards a counselor that is from another region other than the North American region, because there is a desire and need for diversity, geographical diversity. And so it is important that we look to another region for a counselor, and I would just strongly encourage people to consider it. I know that for some of you, you may feel that you're not an expert at ICANN, or you haven't been at this long enough, but really the role of the counselor is to represent the business constituency, and for us as the business constituency, to help provide you with guidance and how to address policy issues as they come about at the council level. And frankly, I was just talking to another member yesterday, and, you know, we're all from business. This is, you know, for most of us, this is not our full-time job, and so we need to be there representing businesses. And, you know, businesses aren't always expert at everything that ICANN does, nor probably, dare I say, if you're working in business, you probably would not be expert in how everything runs. And so, again, I would just ask that everyone really think about it. And it is, as I mentioned, it's very important that we have, if possible, that geographical diversity. Any questions about that?
Alyssa, this is Stefan, if I can.
Yes.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. Stefan Van Gelder speaking for the record. Just to add to what you said initially, I believe this year the council is also planning, just after the Buenos Aires meeting week, to hold, I think it's one day, and perhaps John can add to that, of training as well for new councillors. So just to remind everyone, the way it works is that we elect a councillor. The new councillors are seated just at the end of the AGM meeting, which this year is in Argentina. And on the council, there's long been talk, and this was the conversation that was going on before I was chair of the council, so it's been going on for a while, about the best way to train new members. And I believe the current chair, Jonathan Robinson, has started this idea of having an extra day. So if people are willing to volunteer, I would probably have volunteered, but our charter precludes me from doing so, and I'm committed to the NOMCOM anyway. But if people are willing to volunteer for this worthy cause, I believe they'll get plenty of training. So if people are feeling unsure because they think the GNSO Council is a complicated affair, there will be adequate training, I believe, for people to participate. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Stefan. I can actually see the Adobe now, so we can use the Adobe to raise questions and so forth. And I just want to raise something that Steve mentioned, that the ICANN bylaws don't require diversity for the counselor, but it is desirable, and I would just urge us to try our best to identify individuals who are from a region other than North America so that we can achieve that diversity. Moving on, I'll just mention quickly that the Accountability Transparency Review Team has requested to meet with us at Buenos Aires. We're working currently with the Commercial Stakeholders Group, which is comprised also of the intellectual property constituency and the ISPs, to potentially meet with them, with the group from the ATRT, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, as part of our meetings with the rest of the CSG. And we're still working through that whole agenda. But one question has come about, and perhaps Marilyn is planning on covering this, but there is a question about, you know, at the meeting in Buenos Aires, who it is exactly that we would like to meet with in terms of the breakfast. And I'm sure that Marilyn is probably planning on covering that in her section, so I won't go over that. And then finally, the last thing, you know, we kind of stalled out a little bit on the charter changes. I know that there were some changes sent probably within the last week and a half, but I also know that there were others there who had requested that we kind of hold off moving forward with working on the charter. You know, one, we had a lot of comments in process, and then two, we were in summer. So let's try to – I will try to pick that back up and continue moving forward with that and see if we cannot perhaps get that done by the end of the year. Of course, I think it depends on other kinds of comment periods and things that we need to be involved with. So that is everything that I had. Any questions or anything that anybody wants to raise or make sure that we discuss on this call? Okay, so I happen to know that Chris Chaplow is actually not able to make this call, so we will not hear from him today. So we can move right on to John in terms of an update at the council.
Sure. And Zahid, you're on the line as well, eh?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Oh. Yeah, good. So if I misstate something or miss something altogether, please feel free to jump in. The key thing from the council's perspective that I think is important for the group here is to appreciate that issues that we have been vocal on have gained some traction or gained traction. I don't even need to qualify it at the council level. As you know, we have been adamant that the GNSO review move forward without delay. And Jen Wolf, who is a NOMCOM member of the council, has been asked to lead the group at the council level to do just that. And so I think we should appreciate the fact that the other members of the GNSO community are in agreement with us that this review should move forward and that the council is trying to make sure that the pot gets stirred so that there be even less chance of a delay. Zahid, have you expressed an interest in joining that group that she's preparing, or should we just be confident that we'll have the opportunity to participate as the meetings occur?
At the moment, we're just hoping that, you know, this will work its way when the meetings do occur. At the moment, no, I haven't put my hat in the ring yet.
Okay, and for the calendar, the next GNSO Council meeting is on the 10th of October. The other item that has been of intense interest to the business constituency has been the new GTLD program's fits and starts with regard to singulars and plurals, with regard to different decisions from objections, you know, VeriSign objecting to .cam, each of the three .cam applications, and the different reviewers coming to different conclusions. And so this this noise in the new GTLD program has drawn the attention, thanks, I think, in part to the efforts of not just our constituency but others, drawn the attention of the council, and a letter was sent by Jonathan Robinson on behalf of the council to the new GTLD committee of the board, highlighting the specific places where the program is at odds with the language of the guidebook. At this point, we haven't lighted the torches, we have not sharpened the pitchforks, but I suspect that there is going to be an increasing amount of discussion on the on this point. I think that it is a good opportunity to inject the BC's point of view on some of these things. Probably won't be resolved or move very far forward by October 10th, but could wind up being a significant part of the weekend session's agenda when we get to Buenos Aires. I think that those would be the key elements from the the council. The only other item that I would mention, of course, is that the cross-community working group, Consumer Metrics, there will be a actually a cross-community working group on cross-community working groups is also moving forward. So while it might seem as if the momentum has dropped out of can cross-community working group principles be created, there is still a an effort to push that forward. There's a meeting tomorrow at noon Pacific on that. Zahid, what did I miss?
Not much, actually. You got everything, Jonathan. Just John, there was one other addition that in the letter that Jonathan sent to the board, he did mention that we are looking at certain possible ways in which to address the string confusion and basically the issues of, you know, conflicting results that are being coming up. And as what we had discussed on the council was that we would bring this issue back to our stakeholder groups or constituencies so they can consider and discuss how we should move forward in this. Now, the discussion sort of ran by saying maybe this is not something that should go to an issues report or a PDP, obviously, but try to do something pretty fast, light, maybe a task force that can quickly put together some initial views that can be put together and sent to the board as responses of what the GNSO feels are the inconsistencies, what could possibly be done to improve this situation. So effectively, maybe the BC can think about what it feels the council should do here. Should it be a task force? Should it be, what should the response be? Should it just be a letter? And if there will be a task force, we may need to have ideas as to what may be the solutions to these inconsistencies in the decisions. But that's pretty much the only thing I wanted to just add. Thank you.
All right. Any questions or thoughts or comments for John or Zahid?
And as to Stefan's earlier point, there's nothing more I'm looking forward to than spending yet one more day at an ICANN meeting.
Well,
hey, John. Stefan,
yes,
here. Could you perhaps just explain what's on the agenda for that day so that we,
sure,
we all understand why you're being asked to stay for so long?
Sure, because the new councillors are seated at the end of the annual general meeting, it was thought, I think wisely so, that if we, having come to one place, if we took a little extra time to begin to build the personal relationships, to have a casual conversation about the agenda of issues going forward, to have the opportunity to talk about how, what the best practices might be for councillors, making sure that their constituencies and stakeholder groups are energized and represented, and then getting a sense from a sense of just what the the behavior guidelines are, you know, the rules of the road for being a sensible, productive member of the GNSO Council. So we'll be convening for Thursday afternoon and then through Friday. I think we're staying in the same location. So initially there was some thought about moving, but that's anathema to the intent. So it's an opportunity to accelerate the introduction of new counselors into the mix.
Thanks, John.
I see Steve has his hand raised.
Thanks. Zahid, it's Steve asking about the singular plural, which is a particular flavor of the string confusion. And you mentioned that the council call, you discussed the potential for a task force. That would be new. I've never heard of a task force in council. But your next council meeting is not until 10 October. So this notion of doing something quickly on singular plural really resonates with me in particular. And I'm wondering, should we recommend something to the rest of council in terms of convening a working group or a drafting team to draft a letter to go to the board and executives? And if so, we could take the lead on that in the BC. We have quite a bit of experience and interest in the singular plural issue and could probably draft a letter based on things we've already said. Thanks.
Steve, Zahid here. Absolutely. I think it will be opportune. The BC is well placed. Agree with everything you just said. And we could take a sort of a leadership role here, try to steer this thing through. There's also great interest from the registry stakeholder group, where we've got Jeff Newman sort of also taking a lead in this from that perspective. So I think we have some resource that we can also add to there. I think the answer is yes, there should be something very simple like a letter and a small group. I mean, the only reason we called it a task for a drafting team or something else was because it's something completely new. It's we're trying to do something different from the regular processes of the council, so that we can respond more quickly and effectively given the circumstances. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of name we're going to give it at the end of the day, but definitely some group that gets together, tries to address this issue as soon as possible, and the BC playing its role in trying to input, you know, the extensive discussions we've had and the objections we've taken with the way this is this process has moved forward. I think that would be very opportune. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Zahid, I have compiled all the things that we have said about singular plural before, as well as some of the most recent developments, and I'll send that to the list, but it would be great to get a volunteer to help turn that into a letter that you could present to the council. If council doesn't like the letter or they water it down too much, we could end up just making it a BC letter as part of our campaign to fix this problem.
So I'm raising my hand. This is Elisa. I'm very supportive of that, and I would like us to take a strong position against this singular plural situation, and I can get a draft letter together unless someone else would like to take a leadership role on that. But I would really like us to come out strongly against it, because I think as a group, we all agree pretty strongly that it's extremely problematic for business.
Hi, Lisa. This is Andy Abrams. I'm willing to help with that letter as well.
Okay, great.
This is Steve. I'll circulate a summary of what we said before, and it would be great, Andy, to get Google has made some of the best arguments and had one of the few outcomes that make any sense on this. So it would be great to hear you guys weigh in on that, and we should be able to get a letter together quickly. But do I understand it correctly that our first letter is a draft letter for council to send, not in the BC's voice? Do I have that right?
Right. I mean, isn't that right, John, is he, that we would be preparing something for the council, and then if they don't like it, we'll just do it on our own?
Right. So we are looking for I think that the BC is probably a little bit further ahead except maybe for the registries with regard to an express point of view on all this. And so what we're trying to do now is to get everybody to participate, see if we can come up with something that makes sense for all, and if not, just make sure that each of the constituencies and stakeholder groups are heard from.
Well, I think regardless, getting a letter together that could be used would be great, but I do think this is an issue that's, like, really problematic for business. And Andy, if we could work together on a letter, just getting it together, and then we'll figure out the best way to get that in front of the community. I see that Ron has his hand raised.
Hi, Elisa. Yeah, this is, apologies for coming a little late to the call, everyone, but I just wanted to throw my hat into the same ring. I would be happy to work with you and Andy on that to draft that letter. I feel equally strongly about plurals and singulars as you do. So just want to offer assistance. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Anything else we need to talk about in terms of what's going on at the council before we move on to Marilyn?
Just one other thing, Elisa. This is Zahid. Sorry, I got disconnected. I'm back in. It would be great to have something, even though we don't have a draft starting, but something we can say at the next council meeting so we can take the leadership role as far as the BC is concerned on this issue. Just wanted to say, having something in advance, so that would be great. Thanks.
And that's October 10?
Yep.
Okay. I'm sure we can get a draft that you can use by then.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on, Marilyn.
Thanks, Elisa. I'm going to do this fairly quickly, and most of this from the CSG is an update subject to inputs and recommendations and comments from the members, but just to kick this off and remind everybody that the commercial stakeholder group is a very light coordinating agreement between the three constituencies. And we rotate the substantive coordination. The IPC is coordinating for Buenos Aires. For Singapore, it will be the BC again, and for London, the ISPCP. I just want to mention something that, just so everybody's kind of keeping this calendar in mind, we have a fantastic new addition to our CSG interactions that we pioneered or piloted, I should say, in Durban, and that is the Sunday afternoon meeting. We have submitted the request again for that, and the primary purpose for that is to give us time to interact with key groups that we otherwise don't have time for, and also to allow us to debate within the CSG differences of opinion on key policy or governance topics. So we will start off with the Sunday morning AM session at 8 a.m. or 8:30. We'll be confirming that, but it will be very early. Again, it's the one-hour session that Bruce Tonkin and Bill Graham meet with us. They are the elected board members from the GNSO Council, and they typically keep this on their agenda as an opportunity to interact with the CSG. We are confirmed for that, and Bill is actually interacting directly with Bruce at the upcoming board face-to-face meeting, which will be next week. Again, just to confirm that the IPC will be coordinating that, and I'll talk about topics and development in just a minute. So we'll have Sunday morning 8 to 9, then we have Sunday afternoon for a 2 to 2.5 hour session that will be issues yet to be developed across the CSG. There is an opportunity to perhaps meet with some of the groups we're very interested in during that afternoon, and then save our Tuesday morning CSG session, which will be from 9:45 until 11:15, for finalizing discussions related to policy and our interaction with the board. At 11:15, we're confirmed again with the board, with the CSG, and then that sort of wraps up the CSG. So Sunday twice and Tuesday are a segment of time that we have dedicated. Benny has already submitted the room requirements, request for transcription, conference numbers, et cetera, webcast, MP3 recording, et cetera. Now I'm going to talk about issue development and guests for the cross-constituency breakfast on Tuesday morning. We've reserved the time. We're on the agenda for the cross-constituency breakfast, but we need to come to an agreement with our colleagues in the CSG on the priorities for guests. The ISPs are very interested in ESAC or CC NSO. The IPC has indicated an interest.
Can you let members know what those acronyms stand for?
Sure. Security Stability Advisory Committee. That's, as many of you know, that's a particularly important group for business due to the publication of studies that have technical implications about security stability and resiliency. And we've met with them in the past as the BC, usually just with a few of the ESSEC members. You will recall, for some of you, we met with them in Durban, but we really did not have enough time to delve into certain key issues such as name collision or other issues. You may all recall that dotless domains was a topic that was very much on the agenda in Durban. We did hear from the ESSEC related to dotless domains. Subsequently, the board took a decision to not allow dotless domains. But the point of my mentioning this is the topics, the explanation of what their study is about, et cetera, is when we meet with the ESSEC, that's typically a very good opportunity for our members to delve into specific questions. The CCNSO, of course, is the CCTLD supporting organization. So that's the counterpart to the full GNSO. We're not talking council, we're talking the full GNSO. That will be all of the CCTLD managers, not just those that are actually on the council. Is that okay, Elisa?
Yeah, I think it's just important. Some members may not know what those groups are for.
Sure, sure. I just mentioned ISPs, priority for ESSEC or CCNSO. IPC, there's, I think, diversity of views within the IPC. And within the BC, I had suggested that we prioritize the ESSEC or the CCNSO or the ALAC. But I think Elisa has also suggested that we may want to consider meeting with the GAC again if we're able to do that. Although we've met with the GAC for breakfast twice. There is a possibility of meeting with the ESSEC or the GAC as a substantive consultation, not just at the breakfast. So I think that would be helpful to Elisa and I as members of the Executive Committee of the CSG would be to think about this in terms of member priorities for these groups. And then finally, let me mention that the ALAC has, Olivier did contact me and indicated their interest in planning toward an interaction with the CSG, or if not possible with the CSG, with the BC for Singapore and start that, kick that planning off while we are together in BA, which sort of moves the possibility of either the breakfast with the ALAC for Singapore or another kind of consultation, which we've done in the past. So I'm going to just say a couple of more things here about opportunities to meet with people and then go back to asking input on prioritizing this list of possible guests. Two of the regional BPs have suggested that they would welcome meeting with the CSG, and so I park that thought for members to think about. I still have to take that forward to the CSG XCOM, but I wanted to flag it as a possibility. I think we all see that there's a regional strategy being developed in Africa for Latin America, for Asia, for the Arab states. And by the way, Jensen Olafui who and Wado Saganga, who are a part of the BC, are members of the African Regional Strategy, and Gabby and Celia from the Instituto are a part of the Latin American regional strategy. So these are not representatives from the business constituency. These are business community leaders that are actively engaging with the regional strategy. I believe Charles Chaban and Zaid are also interacting with the Arab state regional strategy. So we do have individuals who are aware of what's going on. But if we get a formal request from the regional VPs, then what I'd like to do is forward that to the CSG and see if it's possible to add that at least briefly into our CSG schedule if that time is available. So let me just go back and say,
Marilyn, sorry. We, if we can just wrap it up, because we need to definitely move on to policy with Steve. And I did actually ask, there is a question in here, and that question is, for the members, do you, who are attending Buenos Aires, who do you want to have breakfast with? Do you want to, essentially, I think the question is, do you want to have breakfast with the GAC, or do you want to have breakfast with the ESSAC? Because I think that's what the IPC prefers, and the ISPs want to meet with the country codes or the AWAC.
No. Sorry, Elisa, can I just clarify that? We do need to go through this, but let me just say, based on whether they're available, if we could go with the members' priority, I believe it's actually the ESSAC or the CCNSO for the ISP. So we have these four. We have the government, but again, we have to verify that these parties are available in that time slot. So we have the ESSAC.
Yeah, it would just be good to hear from members who they want, if they are going to be in Buenos Aires, who do you want to meet with in terms of having this breakfast? This is our one opportunity to meet with a group informally, to continue to develop relationships and get feedback from them informally. So it would be great to hear from any members what you think about who you want to meet with. And you know what? Why don't we just take that to the list? If you can just send to the list who your preference for meeting with in Buenos Aires, that would be extremely helpful so that we can resolve this with the CSG. Did you have anything else that you needed to cover before we go to Steve? Because we have just about 20 minutes for Steve now.
Yeah, if I could just ask Benny to send out the list in descending order and members could prioritize, and then if we can't get that particular group for the breakfast slot, we would know that we should try to slot them into the CSG slot. Elisa, is that okay with you if I do that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Okay, great. Steve.
Thanks, Elisa, and I definitely wanted to go last on this call so that everyone else would not get squeezed out by policy. So I appreciate finding the room at the end of the call. Thanks, Marilyn, for cutting yours short. I sent a policy calendar around 2 days ago, and so I'll quickly dive into that. On public comments, the BC filed this week one on name collision risks, and there were 78 total filed. And when I circulated the last call, Marilyn suggested stronger language, and within hours, Sarah Deutsch came back with some stronger language. I helped her with that, and hearing no objections, we filed stronger language 2 days ago. There were 78 total comments, and I have yet to catalog how many folks are calling for further study on the impact on businesses, but as you well know, internal name collisions will cause software to break. Something will go wrong. That's not even in dispute. And when it does go wrong, the question is, what is the impact on the business interruption, and what are the costs of mitigating, of changing the code? One thing I noticed is that when you take code that was written 7-8 years ago, and it's running on my supplier network PC Windows machines, I've got to recompile that. So I went back and checked, and some of the programming languages I've worked in, I don't even have the compilers or components available to change the name of an internal domain name and recompile the code. So it's never that easy to just tweak a piece of code that was written 6 or 7 years ago. Things get complicated in computers, and I'm pretty sure that's going to cause a lot more disruption than we've all anticipated. Are there any comments on the work done on our collision? Number two, rights protection mechanisms. Elisa, you were the lead drafter on that. I know that that Andy of Google pitched in as well, and those comments were filed 2 days ago. There were 70 total filed on rights protection mechanisms. The third is DNS risk management framework. I brought this back up because it sounds like something we ought to be caring about, but I've yet to hear any volunteers that would analyze the Westlake report and determine whether the BC would like to comment on that. The comment period ends October the 5th. This would require a quick read. What I brought up is that page 8 of the report particularly talks about things the BC has brought up in the past. Are there any volunteers who would be interested in helping out to analyze DNS risk framework. This is number 3 on my policy calendar. All right, I'll move on to number 4. This is GTLD delegation and redelegation user instructions. I haven't even looked at this one to determine how relevant it is to us, but the first half of the comment period closes October 1. I won't call for volunteers on that just yet. It's not something I believe is critical to us, but it may be. Okay, let me jump to the geographic indicator debate.
Before you go on,
sorry, go ahead.
I can write a draft on number 3 if somebody else can also work on it with me.
Thank you, Elisa. Who else can assist Elisa? This is the DNS risk management framework.
Well, maybe once I write the draft, then others will read it and have some thoughts.
Thank you, Elisa. All right, moving on to geographic indicator debate. On the last two... Go ahead.
It's Marilyn. I was just trying to note that in the past, I think we actually, Elisa, I'll send you an email, but we had a couple of members who had been very involved in that, and you might want to reach out to them. I don't think call, but I'll just send that to you by email.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you, Marilyn. The geographic indicator debate was brought up on the last two policy calls. This came out of the decision of the GAC to veto Amazon and Patagonia. And J. Scott Evans of Yahoo started a discussion thread on this. There was a vigorous discussion within the BC mail list. We resolved in our August call to draft a letter. And J. Scott, Stefan, and Sarah Deutsch were the ones who volunteered to help draft such a letter for consideration of sending by the BC. There isn't a public comment period on this, so it would just be a letter. Unless Stefan, Sarah, J. Scott, or others have something to add, this one is still an open item. Okay, moving on. Next one is standardized contracts for URS providers. Phil Corwin, are you on the call? I think you are. Great. So this I wanted to cite earlier is that Phil brought this issue to our attention after the Durban meeting. Phil drafted a letter, which I reviewed and then circulated to members back on the 4th of September, and we allocated the full 14-day member review period. Now, Marilyn had given some comments, which I believe Phil has reflected in his latest draft. Gabby and Celia, who aren't on the call, simply suggested to Phil that we ask for public comment period. But I saw no other comments or objections from BC members. And, Phil, I don't necessarily need you to walk through the letter, but you could summarize in 60 seconds what it says, and we'll see if there's any further discussion on this call before we ask Elisa to send the letter. Go ahead, Phil.
thank you, Steve, and thanks, BC members, for addressing this issue. Actually, the issue is contracts for UDRP providers. BC has long been on record for a standardized and enforceable agreement for UDRP providers. URS providers have a contract. It's not much of a contract. It's a 2-page MOU, but it's something. This is about a report that I can put out the day after Durban, basically taking a very strong, clearly staff-generated position that they were against any kind of contractual arrangement with UDRP providers and making the argument that it somehow would diminish their ability to discipline those who went off the reservation in one way or another, and incredibly explained the difference between contracts for URS providers and UDRP by saying that URS was not based on a policy, which is kind of, you know, contrary to logic and to history. So the letter basically questions the process by which this so-called status report was generated and asks some questions about it. I did accommodate just about all of Maryland's changes, and the only thing I added back in was at least a reference to the Board Governance Committee statement in May that was in the context of Trademark Plus 50, but it's not an attempt to relitigate that issue. It's just to show that this, you know, very powerful subcommittee of the board stated that both the clearinghouse and URS were based in policy. And Gabby and Celia had suggested we ask for this document put out for current public comment. Now, I can add a sentence to There's item number three in our comments, lack of public comment. I could easily add one sentence requesting that it be put out for comment now if that's the will of the BC. But otherwise, it seems to be acceptable to the constituency and ready to go.
Thank you, Phil. I'll take a cue. I did have one suggestion to you. I read the third paragraph. There's a sentence there that says, the BC position was most recently reiterated in our comment on the application of the Arab Center for Dispute Resolution. This was our April. So I went back and double-checked what we said in April, and we didn't just comment on it. We went expansively on the need for standardization, but we also endorsed ACDR. So I believe ACDR is a member. We did endorse it, and I believe the word commented on should be changed to reiterated in our comments where we endorsed the application of the Arab Center for Dispute Resolution. Where we endorsed.
Yeah.
So,
Steve, can you just send me that that line, and I'll make that change to the letter?
I'm glad to, unless any BC members object to clarifying that we endorse them.
Nope.
Great. Phil, I'll send that to you right after the call.
Okay.
Are there any other folks in the queue about whether to move this letter to Elisa's hands for sending to the board and the
And also, should we add one sentence suggesting that it will be appropriate to put the status report out for public comment now?
Yeah, I think
that was
both are on the table. Are there any objections to these two small changes? All right, hearing none, then we will do that after the call, Phil. And then when you finish the letter up, we get it to Elisa. Now, Elisa, we don't have BC letterhead, do we? It may just go in on plain white PDF.
Yeah, I'm sure I can gin something up.
All right. Great. Phil, thank you for taking the lead on this, for reaching out and involving the other UDRP and URS providers that are BC members, and speaking with a consistent and sensible, reasonable voice. Appreciate your work on this.
Thank you very much, Steve, and you're very welcome.
I only have one other item, because we already covered the singular plural, and we already covered Channel 2 for council. So my only other item is that the infamous Red Cross and Olympics issue, and Zahid, you're pretty keen on this, Marilyn Cade has been as well, a working group has in council has been hard at work on this, in fact, it's cross-community, for several months, at what to do at the top level and second level for both Red Cross Olympics and other intergovernmental organizations and non-governmental organizations. So that IGO-NGO acronym is the shorthand for the work of this group. But it started with the notion that the GAC insisted and the board agreed that things like Red Cross and Olympics and variants on them in different languages were off limits at the top level and that they would be entitled to protection at the second level. That was expanded by a call from governments to expand that to cover lots of several hundred, frankly, intergovernmental organizations or IGOs and non-governmental organizations. The challenge that that presents is there are many acronyms, MADRE, CARE. There are several acronyms that are used in the business community that would end up being off limits if we followed the recommendations that came from these groups, because their recommendation was to give them reserved word status. Reserved word status. Now, one BC member, Zahid, was keeping an eye on this group but did not attend very many meetings, and the BC didn't have a voice in the working group. So we did not endorse or support in any way what the working group did. We will, like everyone else, see the report when it gets published for public comment, which should happen today. And what I'd like to do is circulate the draft to everyone. I've updated it with recommended positions for the BC to take on all this, and I discussed them with Elisa Cooper, but the rest of membership, particularly Marilyn, Zahid, and others, should comment on whether we're on the right track with an eye towards the BC very quickly weighing in with our position. We were unable to do so in the time frame requested by the working group. It would have required a 2 or 3 day turnaround from all of you, and I know I've been burying you with things to review on a short fuse. So we're going to take our time. We'll take 14 days. But you could look for a note from me in the next 3 or 4 days on that as soon as it's posted for public comment. So I'll take a cue on IGO-NGO, so we have a few more minutes, and then I'll turn it over to Elisa. Anyone want to talk about IGO-NGO?
It's Marilyn. I'd like to be in the queue.
I see Elisa's hand and Marilyn. Marilyn, go ahead.
I think some members may not be aware that there is in the reserve name, there was a reserve name working group that developed the mechanism for how to release names that are reserved. So I was on that group. So were representatives from Overstock and a few other people. It's a bit old, but there is a, I think it would be important as we consider what our recommendation is to take into account what mechanisms exist to and examine whether they're adequate to deal with releasing names that are on any kind of a reserve list. So I just wanted to park that as a background piece of information.
Marilyn, thank you. And another way to think about mechanisms, the word you used, is that in the draft that Elisa and I will circulate, the mechanisms we're advocating are mechanisms that are already there. For instance, the rights objection mechanism at the top level. And, of course, at the second level, there's a mechanism of claims notices, however imperfect and temporary that is. And I believe it's an opportunity for us to reiterate the BC position that claims notices or warnings be permanent. There's no reason to shut them down after 90 days, and I believe permanent notices is the mechanism that we can get the governments to back us up on. So you're right. Mechanisms will be the key to this, as opposed to dumping something in reserve and having a mechanism to release. There could well be a mechanism that says you don't reserve it, but you just provide very clear and permanent warnings and notices. I think Elisa in the queue, and then we're done.
So I do have a link that I can post it of all of the names and strings that would potentially be added to this reserve names list, and so I can send that around and people can see exactly what we're talking about. I'm personally concerned about these very short, like there's a ton of like 3 and 4 letter acronyms that are acronyms that are used widely that would be basically put on a reserve names list, and I think people should see what they are. But I'm concerned about the fact that there are likely businesses that would want to be able to have that, and even in some cases, I noticed that there's 2-letter acronyms that have been put onto the reserve list. And the one that jumps out at me is AU, which is the country code for Australia. Now, there's a prohibition for registrations at the second level, but there's the thought that there'll be some process where particularly, registries or registrants could petition to have a country code name registered at the second level, but they would have to get permission first. But in the case of AU, which has been added to this reserve list, it's not for Australia. It's for the African Union. So, like, I think there's just a lot of issues that are not really have not really been thought through with this list. And I guess I would just like to say I'm concerned that there's so many 3 and 4 letter and even 2-letter acronyms, which I don't think deserve to be protected because there's a lot of sort of conflicting things going on right now.
Now, again, reserved is what they want. We might still say it's protected, Elisa. If there's a claims notice given to somebody, then it is, in some sense, there's a warning at least given. That's a form of protection, a mechanism.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fine and legit, and I don't think there's any issue there. But I think if you're saying that only the African Union now could have be eligible to get off of the reserve names list because they want to apply for, AU dot whatever, and that, that just seems problematic, in that particular situation, particularly because that's also the country code for Australia.
Okay. To make it easier for our members, how about it was you and I that worked on this draft. Why don't we include the list you just spoke of as part of that email to our members? As opposed to sending multiple emails. And again, we'll let you and I coordinate on that and have it begin, I would hope, begin when they post it for public comment so I can link to that, okay?
Yeah.
Great. That's all I have, Elisa. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve. You've done a tremendous amount of work in the last couple of months, and I know it's been challenging, but I think we all really appreciate the fact that you've been able to corral us and get these comments out and posted. So very, very thankful for all of your hard work. Any other items or things that people want to raise or issues or things that you want to make sure we cover on our next call? Okay. Well, I think our action items for this call will move forward with seeing about how we can go about getting those appointments for to the Credentials Committee for Jimson, Laura, John, and Phil. I will work to getting a draft on this DNS risk management framework, and also, so Andy, did you want to take the lead on the singular versus plural, or did you want me to take the lead on that?
If you could take a crack at the letter, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can talk over email. Then I can fill in some blanks on the legal
okay.
argument and
okay.
that sort of thing.
So we'll look to start getting that draft circulated as well. So especially so that John and Zahid can take that draft to the council and share that at the council level. Is there anything I missed, or any other things people want to raise or reminders? Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Oh, also, I guess we'll send out, Benedetta, can you just send out, I guess, a quick question to attendees of the BA meeting, you know, what their preference for the Tuesday breakfast is, because I do know that Marilyn needs to get back to the CSG and tell them officially, you know, what our preference is.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rebecca. You can now stop the recording.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.
Thank you very much.